Give a big hand, a big welcome.
Well, good morning, church. I am so excited to be here this morning. Let me move away from the speaker. There we go. Yeah, I'm grateful to be here this morning. I want to say a special thank you to Pastor Dean and Gina for having us share today, but also for acknowledging and sharing our heart for the work that we do. This morning, I'm going to be sharing a little bit about our organization, the work that we do. I'm going to be going through some statistics as well. And then I'm going to ask Jelaine to join me on stage for a quick Q&A. And thereafter, Gary will be bringing us the word a bit later. So I'm going to jump straight into it. Open Home Foundation, a non-profit, non-governmental Christian organization established in 1977 by Ewan and Gillian Lawrenson, a couple with big hearts and an even bigger dream to make a difference. Their journey began as foster parents, where they ran a social welfare home here in Wellington. And as the years went by, they became increasingly aware of the need for foster care in New Zealand. They felt in their hearts that they needed to do more. And so Open Home Foundation was born to respond to this growing need for foster care through a Christian community response. Today, 46 years later, the organization has grown significantly, a dream realized because we have service centers across New Zealand, all of which provide comprehensive and professional social services to their respective regions. Now, I'm unable to see the slides on the back one, so I'm going to have to turn around, so I apologize if I keep turning back and forth. Our mission and vision are rooted in the desire to be an extension of God's love through the work that we do and the care that we provide. A mission that to provide Christian services, quality, child-centered, and family-focused services. And our vision is that every child and young person would grow in a loving and secure home and receive a depth of care that will make a difference in their lives, that will touch them not just for the time that they're in care, but throughout their lives. Some of the work that we do, we work closely with the government statutory agent for social welfare, known as Oranga Tamariki. But we also do community mahi, where we provide support and care to children, young people, and their whānau. We provide foster care in various forms. For example, respite care, which is temporary or short-term care for the primary caregivers. And then there's emergency care and foster care in the form of various lengths of time. Our Oasis Respite Program provides care for children and young people with higher special needs. So foster care in New Zealand, according to statistics from March last year, looks something like this. There were 4,800 children and young people that were placed into care, 53% of which were male, 47% of which were female. Now, this number, 4,800, was derived from over 50,000 reports of concern that had come through, meaning that a call was made out of concern for the safety and well-being of a child or young person. Once a report of concern is received, an investigation is taken, and then a decision is made on what sort of care would be needed. Let's have a look at the age range of this 4,800 children and young people. 27% accounts for the age group 13 years and over. That's our teenagers. And that's followed closely by the 10 to 13 age group, which of 26%. 6 to 9 year olds accounted for 23%. 2 to 5 year olds, 19%. And the 0 to 1 age group was 4%. It's quite a big age group if you look at it. 0 to the age of 18 of children and young people that are being placed in care. I'm going to ask Jelaine to join me on stage. Now, I love the opportunity to pick Jelaine's brain a little bit. Jelaine is our practice manager at the Wellington Service Centre. She's also connected to this church through her mum, who attended and served here for many years. She comes with a wealth of knowledge as having been a foster parent and social worker.
And so I'm really grateful that I get the opportunity to ask the questions today. Jelaine, thank you so much for being here this morning. I really appreciate it. You've traveled over the hill, so thank you. I'm going to start with the first question that has two parts. Firstly, can you tell us how big is the need for foster care in Wellington? And secondly, what happens to children and young people that don't have a home to be placed in?
Good morning, Church. So in the Wellington area in the past 11 months, we have provided 6,347 care nights for children in our service centre. Out of those, just in the last 3 to 4 weeks, we've had 19 referrals from Oranga Tamariki. So the eldest one was 17, and she just needs a few months of care until she ages out in August. And she's already got a transition to independence plan we talk about. That helps to kind of guide her through those last, I guess, 3 years usually of moving out of care and into independence. Excuse me. And then we've had some children who are... it ranges then right down to, we recently had a referral for a newborn baby. So when we received the referral, the baby wasn't born yet. So we were waiting for the baby to be born. We did have somebody that could have taken that baby. However, Oranga Tamariki found a whānau placement. And I guess our desire is that every child grows up in their own family, actually, if their family is safe for them to be in. And there is a bit of a push towards that for children to grow up in their own family. So a little baby, they normally would do a whānau search to see if there is somebody in the whānau or iwi in particular or wider family who could take a little baby.
How many referrals have we had in the most recent weeks coming up?
In the last few weeks. So there's been 19 children that have come through our doors in the last 3 to 4 weeks, and only 2 of those were we able to place. I guess the second part of Leanne's question was what happens to those. So Oranga Tamariki try really hard to place them. Sometimes they're placed just for like a week or so until another placement becomes available. So sometimes they can shift around a little bit. There are reports that sometimes Oranga Tamariki social workers will stay in motels with particularly young people who are a little bit harder to place, and they will be provided care there until somewhere else comes available. Oranga Tamariki also have some care homes around the Wellington area, and so sometimes children get placed there. Those homes have limited capacity and actually are often full, and so a child might go there just for a short time while the work is being done to try and find another placement. Oranga Tamariki also have another care provider that provides some care for children as well. They don't have as many foster parents as what Open Home have. They're not as big as what we are. So that is another option as well.
Cool, thank you. What would you say makes us different as an organisation compared to others?
I guess what makes us different is that we're Christian. We are openly Christian. Our foster parents, we pray with them, we talk to them about Jesus and the Bible, and we support them in a Christian way. I guess that's what it makes God so amazing, that as a Christian organisation we are able to partner with a government organisation like Oranga Tamariki, and nobody's really questioning the Christian input that we have. Which is really great, and I think it shows God's faithfulness for our organisation and for his heart for the children that come through our doors.
Do you have a story in mind that you could share with us today about how our Christian community response has impacted those that come into care?
So a few weeks ago, I went to do what we call a child-sighted visit. to one of our children in care, and this is when we visit the children every month, just to make sure that they've got everything that they need, that they're happy, that, you know, connect with them. And this young girl who was 10, I was just talking to her about what had been happening in her life, and she told me that she went to a conference. And I said to her, oh, what kind of conference was it? And there was a speaker that their church had organised to come up to speak with the youth. So he was a youth speaker. He came up and they had this conference. And I said to her, oh, what kind of things did you do at the conference? And she said, well, he had two questions. One was, what do you believe and why? And it was really cute to see this 10-year-old. She's been in care for 5 years now. And she was able to tell me, with lots more questions, exactly what she believed and why. And I guess for me, that's the heart of what we do. We do place children into foster care so that they have loving homes to come up to be raised in. But I guess for me, it's there they often meet Jesus. That's where they get taken to church, they go to Sunday school, youth group, whatever it is, and they often meet Jesus. And I guess that my heart's desire would be for every child that we have in our care would meet Jesus.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Jelaine. I'm going to let you get back to your comfy seat there. You know, Foster Care through Open Home Foundation is an opportunity to provide practical support, but it is also an opportunity to share eternal hope, as Jelaine mentioned, with those that come into care. It's a chance to make a difference and possibly change a life. Take a look at Mariah's story.
My name is Mariah, and I was put into the foster care system at 11 months old. I think I went around maybe like 10 different homes. And there was a lot of drugs involved, and it wasn't like a state that a child should have to ever live in. At one of those houses, I guess they didn't really look after me, and so I was hospitalised. At that point, I was put in emergency care with the Terrells for that small period of time. It was the only time in my life that I had that security and safety, and yeah, I think they fell in love with me. I lived with the Terrells full-time. They were my parents. They are my parents. So that's awesome. Yeah. They definitely saved me from a lot of potentially bad outcomes. I think fostering has to be the most rewarding experience. The fact that you love them like your own, like, I think that's a really big deal, and it takes a lot of heart. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It sounds so cringe saying save a life, but that's really what you're doing.
Yeah. Mother Teresa once said, do ordinary things with extraordinary love. And what the Terrells did for Mariah shows. She has gone forward to complete her social work degree and is paying it forward through the experience that she had in foster care. How amazing is that? The Bible tells us in Psalm 123, verse 7, that children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Each and every child is born with a plan and purpose. And those that come into foster care were unfortunate. They didn't choose the situation that they are in. But through a Christian community response, we have a chance to make a difference. We have a chance to offer a different experience and perhaps change the course of their lives through that. Jason Johnson, who is a massive advocate for foster care in the USA, often says that not everyone can do everything, but everyone can do something. And so I want to encourage you this morning that if you have a desire to find out more about foster care, if you have any questions, to come and have a chat with us. We'll be hanging out at the back of the auditorium, and we'd love to meet with you and chat with you more about that. It's about time for Gary to come up and bring us the word. And Gary said not to introduce him, but earlier I heard that he... I'm going to say that he's my boss. And if you want to know if he's a good boss, come see me later. I'll tell you more about that. Just kidding. Gary's great. While Gary's getting ready to bring us the word, take one last video. And also, feel free to head over to our website, www.ohf.org.nz, to find out more. Thank you.
Everyone. Jelaine and Leanne, well done. That was great, honestly. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it. Something Dean said this morning. Try and stop the thing. Andre was preaching last week, for those of you who weren't here, and he said he should have come up to that song. I won't, because the bar's set quite high at that point. Okay, one moment. Kia koutou. To those of you online, it's great that you can join us today. For whatever reason you are online, may the Lord bring his anointing on you. I'll introduce myself first. My name's Gary Field. Can I have the first photo, please? So this is our family. So from left is Richard, who's our son-in-law. Then Neerali, who you would have seen up this morning playing the keyboard. Myself, Ella, who's our son's girlfriend. And our son Isaac, and next to Isaac is our daughter Rachel. Many of you actually will not know that Grant Conway and I, are actually related. I just want to show you our extended family. Could I have the second photo, please? For those who you do not know or actually want to admit, this is actually the Canterbury Crusaders rugby team. I was born in Balclutha, primarily raised in Christchurch. Neerali and I have been married for 35 years. I've worked for the Open Home Foundation for many years, and I draw a lot of satisfaction from my work there. It's not just work for me. We have been attending this church family for 16 years, ever since we moved from the Christian Community Church, or CCC, in Palmerston North. I dislike rice pudding, who doesn't, Brussels sprouts, or anything spicy hot. I love seafood, especially bluff oysters, but dislike kina and eel. About 1 month ago, I started to eat fajawas and discovered I actually really like them. I was not drawn to social work until Neerali and I were living in a community in Havelock North. We lived there with other Christian families and also with families who needed some kind of support. The support related to, for example, struggling to parent, issues with drinking and eating disorders. At the same time, I read a book called Why Settle for More and Miss the Best by Tom Sine. It felt right for me to go and do study, and thankfully nearly agreed. We considered two options, shifting to Waikato to study psychology or shift to Palmerston North to do social work. The theme of the sermon today relates to Leanne and Jelaine's presentation and is hopefully a message that is relevant to you all. It's the topic of serving. Let's just pray. Lord, you are here with us. Lord, I ask you to help each one of us to hear what you want us to hear this morning. Continue to guide and lead us in what it means to be followers of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I've interviewed numerous people for positions at the Open Home Foundation. For some jobs, I'm looking for a person who has a servant heart. Take someone in an office administrative role. I would like to see, for example, that they would be happy to buy milk. They, without asking, would clean up after a mess has been made. Make someone a coffee if they're having a hard day. Gathering the coffee cups at the end of the day and put them in the dishwasher and put the dishwasher on. It's someone who sees a need and does what they can to meet that need with a serving heart. Before I go on, this message is not about placing guilt on anyone. I ask you not to take guilt onto yourself. Arguably, we live in a world that is increasingly consumed by selfishness, self-centeredness, self-gratification, and increasingly a self-promoting culture. We can get caught up in this culture as we are continually exposed to it. Jesus is counter this self-culture. We, as followers of Jesus, need to examine ourselves not against the culture of an increasingly secular society, but against the mirror of the Word of God, the Bible. And I'm talking to myself here also. In Matthew 23:11, Jesus said, "The greatest among you will be your servant." So Jesus invites us to take on the very nature of a servant. I'll just say that again. Jesus invites us to take on the very nature of being a servant. I'm going to ask some of you to answer this question. What comes to mind, your mind, when you think of a person who is a Christian and serves? This person could be a family member, a friend, someone in this fellowship or outside of it. I'm going to ask you who that person is and what do they do when they're serving. For example, Sarah, I made up her name. She runs Children's Church for years, okay? So, think of a person who's a Christian and who's serving. Right, I'm going to come after you. Gina, I'm picking on you first. Who's someone that you can think of as a Christian and is serving?
Tim and Anita Clark, serving in the cafe almost every week.
Awesome, that's great.
I'd like to put hands up for my lady here, Jelaine. She just enormous amount of hours for you guys, and she just goes far, far, far beyond the call. Very, very servant-hearted.
Totally agree. Awesome. Thanks, Mark. Jenny, I'm going to pick on you. Who can you think of that's a servant, and what do they do? Excuse me.
I can think of Anne Mason for the work that she does in the office and all the extras that she does without fail.
That's awesome. Who else? Who else would like to say who they know as a Christian? And
Deanie. Deanie, she serves in the community. She is always willing to share about Jesus and helps people. No holds barred. She's an amazing lady. Amazing.
Terrific. That's great. One more from over here.
Yeah, please. Ines. Yep. She's all over the place, but she's doing stuff, but she's very quiet about it. It's awesome. Real servant. Yep.
That's great. Thank you. Everyone else is relieved I didn't come up to them. They're great. They're just a few examples. We need to acknowledge there is great work already being done by people in our church, for people within our church family and within our community. I'm briefly going to share 10 points about serving. The scriptures are just examples of applicable Bible verses. Point one. Great. Paul is writing to Timothy. In Timothy 1:6-18, Paul writes, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and be willing and be generous and willing to serve." So we are asked to share. Point two, Jesus is our example. Matthew 20:25-28. Jesus called them together, he's talking to the disciples here, and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Indeed, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." So Jesus is our example. Point three, we serve Jesus. When we serve others, we serve Jesus. Matthew 25:35-40. Jesus paints a clear picture for his disciples of how crucial it is to be a servant. "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Jesus is not just saying do good works or good deeds. When we serve others, Jesus takes it very personally. When we serve others, we are serving him. We cannot serve God unless we are willing to serve others. Point four, serving others glorifies God. 1 Peter 4:8-11. "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as the one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen." Paul asks us to love each other deeply. Let's be honest, that's not always easy. However, Paul writes that we use our gifts to serve others, but he adds, serving others glorifies God. Excuse me. Let's put this down for a second. My nose bled this morning, so I'm worried about that. Point Point five. Loving our brothers and sisters in Christ is a witness to all, including those who do not know Jesus, that we follow Jesus. So loving our brothers and sisters in Christ is a witness to all that we follow Jesus. It was the Last Supper Jesus would have with his disciples before his crucifixion. Judas had just left the meeting and was on his way to find the group of soldiers and officials that would arrest Jesus. Back at the meeting place, Jesus said to his disciples in John 13:34-35, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Point six. Each one of us is an essential part of the body of Christ. We bring our contribution to serve the body of Christ. We are to outwork our giftings so that the church body fulfills its purpose Christ has for us. Romans 12:4-8. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, then do so in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Every gift is important and special. We need each other. You are gifted to serve others. So get ready to say it to yourself, loud but not shouting. I'm gifted to serve others. So ready? Go. I am gifted to serve others. Not too bad. Let's give it a go. Another go. Ready? Go. I am gifted to serve others. As a complete aside, for those who are single here, or any single people listening online and want to be married, look for someone who is serving in their church or church body. It's one sign they are serious about their walk with Jesus. Point seven. There are people with needs that require the church, that is us as Christians, to respond to. Luke, who is the likely author of Acts, writes in chapter 20:35, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak." Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." The word weak that Luke is referring to here seems to mean the sick, the poor, and those who cannot work. Point eight. As an expression of accepting Jesus as Lord, therefore followers of Jesus, we are just naturally to do good works. James 12:14-17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such a faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Followers of Jesus do good works. Point nine, we're almost there. God is not only saying there are good works for us to do, but that he has also prepared good works for us to do. Ephesians 2:8-10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand for us to do. So, we are saved by grace. We are not saved because we do good works. However, as now followers of Jesus, Jesus has good works for us to do. If we notice there is a gap or something lacking, or you get this weird twitch when someone mentions a need, maybe, just maybe, you are part of the answer. Also, Scripture is saying here that there are good works set up for us to do. So, watch for opportunities coming your way that the Lord puts in your path. Last point, point 10, this is an easy one. We are to spur one another on toward love and good works. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. I have a confession. A few weeks ago, Dean asked in the church service for assistance to put all the chairs out. I think it was for a school prize giving. You know what my first thought was? I'm likely to miss out on some nice food in the cafe. More significantly, it was the monthly cafe lunch. So even more nice food. Seriously though, at times my attitude to service is not good. In summary, the key points. We are asked to serve. Jesus is our example, and he is glorified when we serve. We serve because we love Jesus and we love each other. We serve because each one of us has a significant part to play within the body of Christ. Serving reflects our lives as followers of Jesus. There are needs that we cannot ignore. God has things for each one of us to do, and spur each other on to serve. Please reflect on this message. I believe we have no option but to respond. Not out of guilt. If we do that, we're missing the heart of Jesus. Do you, me, we have the willingness to say to Jesus each morning, "Help me today to be your servant." Revival has been mentioned a few times here in the last year or so. I wonder if our experience of the next revival will come out of acts of serving. Also, as more people come, there will be an increase in various needs to manage the growth. And finally, please see Leanne and Jelaine at the back if you have any questions about becoming a foster parent for the Open Home Foundation, or if you just quickly want to take one of their pamphlets. There is no obligation. And lastly, don't forget to take God out and share him. Thank you.